nice time to worship, to get together, to be in community. And I feel like, you know, as we come in, we can just kind of shed all the issues, all the problems, all the world behind us, and just for a few minutes pause during Shabbat and just really bask in the Lord and His Word. So let's dig now into reading through His Word together and applying it to our lives. We're in Matthew chapter 7, if you want to go there. We're going to be going through 15 to 23 today. Now, Yeshua's been talking about a lot of different things related to living your life for the Lord, following the Torah, you know, following the principles of the Torah. And we all know, they knew it back then, or they would know it pretty soon after Yeshua ascended to heaven and troubles happened to them. We know it today that being a follower of Yeshua, and I'm talking about a real follower of Yeshua, it's not easy, right? Anybody that tells you it's easy and that promises you all these wonderful things is lying to you, right? Because there is joy in the Lord. Believe me, there's riches far beyond anything we could have of worldly riches. But it's not easy sometimes. We live in this world, and this world is not a godly world. It's not like the Zechariah 14:9 scripture where the Lord's going to be king over all the earth and His name will be one. That's coming up later, but right now we live in a world where they don't by and large acknowledge Yeshua as anything, let alone a king, right? So we live in a world full of darkness and sin. We live in a world full of temptation and strife, and we live in a world full of challenges and trials in our lives. And what we do is we await a better world, like we sang about today. It would be so much easier for all of us. I could speak for me, though. It would be so much easier if we were already in heaven. We could go around hanging out with the angels, right? We could go around greeting each other with a Shalom Aleichem, and everything would be fine, right? We'd be having all this wonderful time together. Because in heaven, or when we're in the kingdom with the Lord, everybody's going to sing from the same song sheet. Everybody's going to play by the rules, these rules, not whatever rules they make up. And everybody is going to be on the same page with the Lord. We're going to love the Lord. We're going to love each other. It's going to be kind, peaceful, all that great stuff. The reality is we as followers of Yeshua live here now. And the whole point is we have to learn how to live here now in the midst of waiting for another world. See, there's a really weird dichotomy with being a true believer. We're living in a world full of darkness, but we're living as people of light. So there's going to be clashes, there's going to be battles, there's going to be issues, whether it's internal issues or external issues in our life. And you all know what I mean because you've all been there to some degree. But the reality is, as followers of Yeshua in this world, you and I have to use wisdom. You and I have to use discernment in order to walk through this world. So Yeshua has been talking about this in Matthew 7. He kind of finishes the Sermon on the Mount, and now he gets into what are called some dangers. Watch outs, you know, watch out for this, be careful for this, don't step your foot into this. That's what he's talking about now. Last week we talked about two gates, the narrow gate and the wide gate, right? The wide gate's going to say, come on in, party's in here. The narrow gate is far more difficult to traverse and go through, but that's the one we have to go through. Now, it's even more complicated. Because not only do we have to contend with a dark world out there as people of light, followers of Yeshua, because we're battling, you know, the non-believing world. The other issue for us is we have to deal with people internally that may not be what they seem, okay? We have to deal with the dangers of false teachers. We have to deal with the dangers of false prophets. And if you've been a believer for any stretch of time, you know that they're out there, right? They're all over the internet. They're certainly scattered throughout congregations all over this country and the world. Today's message is entitled False and True Believers, and it's all about how to tell them apart, which is important for our lives. So let's begin. Matthew 7, verses 15 and 16. We'll start there. Again, these are Yeshua's words. These are His words of warning for us. You know, we have to be prepared for living in this world. 15 and 16. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? You know, it's a typical Jewish question, right? The answer is, of course, no. And that's, we always do things in forms of questions. We are, as followers of Yeshua, as believers, we are called sheep, right? You know that. That's all over the scripture. All over the scripture. We are sheep. And sheep are taken care of by a shepherd. And that shepherd for us is Yeshua. So we're the sheep. He's the shepherd. That's an easy concept. Yeshua, the shepherd's job, is to protect you and I, to care for us, to make sure that we're okay as we go through this world. Turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 11. Scripturally, it talks about us as sheep. Scripturally, it talks about Yeshua as a shepherd. And this is one of those scriptures, just to give you an idea. And there's many of them in the Bible. John 10, 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And we know he's done that for us. But he constantly does that for us. He is watching out for us. He is admonishing us. He is teaching us, even in his word here today, how to be sheep and how to be under a good shepherd. But here's the thing. As sheep, we do things that sheep do, right? That's why we're called sheep, right? That's not why we're called, you know, emus or something. I don't know. I don't know what emus do other than that Liberty Mutual commercial. But I know they're not sheep. Sheep, what do sheep do? We know this. They wander, right? They wander. They sometimes fall off cliffs. You ever seen that? They're just really kind of dumb sometimes. We as sheep wander. We get off track. We go places we're not supposed to go. We meander, we lose our, I mean, you ever go into a room and say, why did I come into this room? I know there was a reason. Right? I do that. We meander, we're sheep. False prophets are those that come in and their job, their intent is to take us away from the shepherd, is to get us off track. So we meander right outside the gate, right off the cliff, right over to the lion's den, whatever you want to say about that. False prophets come in to intentionally take us away from the shepherd. They come as wolves, but here's the really crazy part. They come as wolves dressed up like sheep. They come as wolves dressed up like sheep. They don't just come as the wolves. Now, if they did, it would be really easy to spot them. Look, a wolf, go in the opposite direction. Call the shepherd over. It would be easy if they did that. But they make themselves appear like sheep in all ways. This is in every single appearance. They must have the best sheep costumes, these wolves, right? They look exactly like us. And the point is they can trick us really easily. They can fool us really easily. So we have to be on guard. And this not only applies to, you know, little situations. It applies to all of our life because false prophets come in and steal from us, and try to take from us, and try to throw us off track in the Lord. Have you ever had a false prophet, right? Or someone that appeared to be a sheep but really was a wolf? Have you ever had that in your life where they maybe steal from you? Unfortunately, there's believers out there, people that you do business with, that advertise themselves as sheep, but guess what they are? They're wolves, right? You know some people like that. They intentionally come in to steal from us, appearing like sheep. They intentionally come in to try and disrupt our lives, get us off track. Yeshua warns us about him, but you know what? Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, also gives a warning. Now turn to the book of Acts. In chapter 20, and this is when Shaul is going through, doing his missionary journeys and different things where he's going and he's proclaiming the words of Yeshua. So if he's proclaiming the words of Yeshua, he's going to say the things Yeshua said, right? Reinforce them. And guess what he talks about? He talks about wolves. Acts 20, verses 29 and 30. And he's saying this to the people, his followers, the followers of Yeshua at that time. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. I mean, this is the real deal here. This is like a little bit crazy and scary, you know. How do we distinguish the sheep from the wolves, dressed as sheep? That's the question. What is the answer found in Scripture? we look for the fruit that they bear. That's point number one today. Judge people by fruit and not appearance. It is so easy with us, you know, for our having the eyes that we have and the ears that we have to just simply take people on face value. You know, we do that. We try to give people the benefit of the doubt. But you cannot judge people, whether they're sheep or wolves dressed as sheep, based on what they look like. You have got to look at the fruit that they bear. Turn with me to Matthew 7. We'll go back to the text today. Now we're going to go to verse 17 through 20. So judge by fruit, not appearance. So many people have been led astray by wolves masquerading as sheep. And so what Yeshua does now, he's using all this imagery. He's talking about wolves and sheep. Then he shifts gears in verse 17, and he starts talking about another type of imagery. And the imagery here is trees, fruit trees. Matthew 7, 17 to 20. And he says this, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their truths. This is very specific language, and we're going to see it again in another spot in just a minute. But what he's saying is all people in this world, I don't care if you're a believer, if you're an atheist, whatever you are, we're all trees. We're all fruit trees. And as such, we bear fruit, right? From on our leaves. We either bear good fruit or bad fruit. That's how you're going to distinguish the sheep from the true wolves in sheep's clothing. That's the only way. The people would have understood the imagery because they've heard these words before. They've heard the way it's spoken of before. Remember, he says in verse 19, every tree that doesn't bear good fruit, what? Is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now turn to Matthew chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. We have heard these verses before. The precursor to Yeshua was the Elijah that was to come. His name was John the Baptist, Yochanan the Immerser. He's bringing the people to the River Jordan. This is a few chapters ago. We went through this in detail. We went to chapter 3. He's bringing them down to the River Jordan and immersing them. They're being, you know, baptized is the common thing we call it today. And when he's seeing crowds of people, I mean, these are people from all over the place, all over the land of Israel, probably outside of the land coming in, regarding John as a great prophet, understanding that this was a special immersion. He's seeing people come, and he notices some people that are wolves dressed as sheep, right? And so this is what he says. Beware fruit, or bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Because remember, his immersion was immersion of repentance, of preparing the way, preparing your heart for God. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able to, from these stones, to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Here it comes. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. It's the exact same thing that Yeshua says. So we will know what type of person we are, they are, by the fruit that they bear on their tree. And are they going to bear good fruit in keeping with repentance or bad fruit? And the root of all this is our heart. From the heart flows really what type of a person you are, what type of fruit you bear. It all comes from the heart. And we're going to talk about that now. So let's go back to Matthew 7. Now go to the last three verses in our text today, 21 through 23. So wolves and sheep, good fruit trees, bad fruit trees, bearing good fruit, bad fruit. And now he says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Those are the scriptures that I always read and I like do the gulp, you know, oh boy. I make sure I'm right with the Lord because these are pretty intense scriptures. This isn't the, you know, sloppy agape kind of love. This is like cut down, thrown into the fire. You need to produce good fruit. I never knew you, he's saying. Depart from me. So just as appearances are deceiving, wolves dressed as sheep can't tell them apart. Guess what? So is talk. Talk can be deceiving. You could talk a big game. You ever met somebody that talks all the right things? They talk a big game, but then the actions just don't back it up, or what they produce from all that talk doesn't back it up. It's contrary. They're saying all the godly things, all the righteous things, but the attitude, the action, it's just not measuring up. And there's this weird dichotomy. Talk is cheap. You and I have met many so-called believers over the centuries. People have met them over centuries. We've met them in our lives. They had the talk down. They said, or they say, Lord, Lord, look at all that I've done. I've done this. I've done that. They have all the, you know, wonderful words to say. They sound pious. They sound godly, but their hearts were far from God. Now, we've seen this played out throughout the last 2,000 years. We've seen so-called believers do things that don't fall in line with the rhetoric, right? A couple of examples. The Crusades is a great example of this. The Inquisition is a great example of this. Even to much an extent, the Holocaust is a great example of this. People that espouse the right talk but did terrible things in the name of the Lord. What's the deal here? Well, they didn't bear good fruit. They weren't true followers of Yeshua. The talk made us think it, but the walk played it all out, and we knew that they were not. So now turn with me to Matthew 15. We're going to get to the root of all of this, the root of bearing good and bad fruit, the root of being a wolf and a sheep, and it really comes down to one thing at the core of it all. Matthew 15, 18, we'll start there. This is a point where Yeshua is talking to people, and you know, they're trying to understand, and here comes the teacher Yeshua, here comes a great rabbi, and he's speaking to them about defilement. The question is on defilement. And the specific context is on kashrut, you know, eating kosher and all that. And the way that you eat, what you do, you know, the Pharisees believed in ritually washing hands before you do that, and all that. He's talking about all that, but he's applying the concept in a broader way. And you'll see what I mean in a second. Matthew 15, 18, and 19. These are Yeshua's words. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. You and I have seen examples of all of that, even in the world today. It's going on, and we're seeing it. And the root of it all, as Yeshua tells us, is if your heart is not right, what's going to be? Your fruit's going to be rotten. If your heart is not right, your fruit's going to be rotten. But if your heart is right with the Lord, you're going to ultimately be producing and bearing good fruit. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Now, again, Yeshua's not giving us this like new discourse. Oh, I've never heard that before. He is expounding and expanding upon the Torah. He's illuminating the Torah for us, understanding the deeper meaning behind God's standard and covenant with his people. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is Yeshua's discourse on the Torah. And he's talking about this, but you know what? The Tanakh spoke about this. Proverbs 4:23. What does it say here? Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. So everything flows from the heart. This is like confirmation. You know, Scripture confirms Scripture. Scripture corroborates Scripture. When people take a Scripture verse out of context and apply it to some way that it's not meant, it doesn't apply with other Scripture. But we have to take all of it in context. That's why it's important to study it and understand carefully and truly how to apply it to our life. Because there's a good way to apply it, and guess what? There's a bad way to apply it. But keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Either way, we're going to be judged by our good fruit or bad fruit, but ultimately by the condition of our hearts. And that's point number two. We're judged by our heart condition. This is the thing. We are judged by our heart condition. Now go back to the Matthew 7 passage today, and We read through the entire passage, but I want to hit on a couple of verses again that's going to illustrate the whole point here. Matthew 7:21, Yeshua's words again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The one who does the will with the right heart of my Father. So the question, of course, is if we want to all get into the kingdom of heaven, I'm thinking, right? So what is the will of the Father? That's the mystery to solve in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. It's not, so what is the will of the Father, right? As we've seen before, it's not appearances, right? Looking the right way. It's not talk, saying the right things. These are all fine and good, but they're not truly doing the will of the Father. It's not doing the right kind of talk or having the right appearance. It's not even in the works that we do. These things won't get us into heaven. Now, you and I may do great things for the Lord. That's all good. Remember, nothing done in the Lord is going to come back in vain. Many people have done wonderful things, but they're far from God, though. Many people have fed others, built houses for the homeless. These are all great things, but they do not guarantee you and I an entrance into heaven. You know, you don't get access to the pearly gates, so to speak, by doing all these wonderful things, by saying all these wonderful things, by looking this special way here on earth. Oh, I look so pious. I led people to the Lord by the way I look or the way I talk or the things that I did. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We have to really understand Scripture. If we were able to get into heaven by all those things, if that was the golden ticket, so to speak, then what could happen? We could earn our salvation. You and I could be extremely good people, and we can earn our salvation. But the Word of God says otherwise. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Okay. So we go right back to the question then. This is the context. What is the will of the Father? What is the will of the Father? It's not all those things. And it is a right heart attitude, right? Now go back to that last verse in our passage, Matthew 7:23. This gives us the clue. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Key in on that word, lawlessness. What does that mean? What is he talking about? People that, you know, break the law of the land? No. It's talking, although that's not good to break the law of the land, it's talking about breaking God's law, right? Commonly, the law is translated when we go into the Greek, the word is translated as law, and it really is the Torah in the instructions of God. So when Yeshua is saying, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, what he's saying is depart from you those who don't live by Torah principles, those who live by another set of principles, the world set or their own set or what feels good today, you know? And people do that every day. The Torah is God's standard of righteous living. Yeshua had just spent the entire Sermon on the Mount explaining to the people how to properly parse through and understand and interpret and live by Torah, law, right? Torah, how to interpret it, how to live by it. In this dark world we live in, we literally are full, it's full of darkness spiritually, right? It's full of darkness that we live in here. And when you go around in darkness, you, and this is obvious, you can't see at all, right? When it's abject darkness, have you ever closed your eyes for a little while and then tried to move around and bump into everything, right? We live spiritually in this world, and this world is full of darkness. And God's word does something extraordinary, supernatural in the spiritual sense. What does it do? It pierces through the darkness and shines light into the darkness. It shines light so we can see where we're going, so we don't bump into things, fall off cliffs like sheep do, get out of the sheep pen, go over here with this false shepherd. Light pierces through the darkness. Now turn with me to Psalm 119:105. Many of you know this by heart. It's a great scripture. God's word is the light to get us and pierce through the darkness of this world. Psalm 119:105. Your word, very specific, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How are we going to know how to walk through the darkness? the Word of God is a lamp to your and my feet and a light to our path. Point number three, we must be obedient to God's Word. You and I, as followers of Yeshua, have got to be obedient to the words that He gave us. I'm talking about the whole Bible, of course. You know, when we say Torah, we can mean the five books, we can mean the entire Tanakh, we can mean the entire Bible, but these are kind of terms we use. But we've got to follow God's Word in order for that light to pierce through the darkness. Yeshua is teaching us to look beyond. He's teaching us we need to follow the higher principles contained in this Word. So, there's a lot in the passage today. He's using all this imagery to convey, to get us to this one point about how we're to enter the kingdom of heaven, how we're to be followers, true followers of Yeshua. So he starts off with appearances. Those are going to show us the wolves that are in sheep's clothing, but the sheep. How do we spot them? Not by appearances, by fruit. Okay, now he's talking about trees. How do we bear good fruit and not bad fruit? Have the right heart attitude. Okay? How do we learn to do that? Follow Torah principles. So this is all well and good, but the problem that we have is we can know all this. We can say this every morning when we get up and then mess up and then fall short. And then, as best as you can be, somebody does something to you, something happens to you in your life, and you get thrown off and you forget it all, right? I've done it. You've done it. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Going to read a couple of verses here. We fall short. We mess up. We cannot live in and of ourselves by the standard God has. I've tried and I've messed up. You've tried and you've messed up. But because why? Because there's a battle going on. There's a spiritual battle. It would be great if we just followed the yellow brick road, right? And everything was great. But the yellow brick road is riddled with wolves on the road, and darkness all around, and people trying to pull you off to the wide gate, and all that good stuff. So there's a battle. And you know, when people do that, a lot of times we look at those people and we say, those wolves. But you got to remember, we have to remember, this is a spiritual battle, okay? The enemy can use people. He can use people, just as God can use people. And sometimes we focus so much on the person, and we just say, oh, that person. We have to understand that there's a spiritual battle going on. And that can help us to show that person mercy and love, knowing that there is a spiritual thing going on. And it's a battle between the flesh and the spirit that's going on. Romans 8 talks about this. Romans 8, verses 3 and 4. And that spiritual battle that we have doesn't allow us to fully, truly follow this with the right heart, with the way we want to all the time, right? So, Romans 8, 3 and 4. For God has done what the law, what the Torah, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I don't have another 3 hours to go through this together with you, because this is so intense right here about what it says. Many people interpret this to say, well, the law is weak. The law is bad. The law, therefore, is done away with. That's not what the word is saying. What it's saying is God's standard is perfect standard. You can read the words. I can read the words. But our weakened flesh, born out of sinful nature, takes the words and misapplies them, messes up, twists the words, does all those things to where we truly are not following the Torah. That's why we need Messiah. That's why you and I need the Lord in our lives. What do? We apply it the wrong way. We take scripture out of context. We get legalistic over it. And with our sinful nature in the flesh, we can easily pervert it. We can easily twist it, even just a little bit. And we all have seen the effects of that. That's where Yeshua comes in. Stay in Romans 8 for a second. We're going to go to a couple more verses. But through Yeshua as our shepherd leading us as sheep, because sheep fall off cliffs, sheep misapply scripture, through Yeshua our shepherd helping us as sheep, we can properly interpret the word. We can properly understand how we're supposed to live in our lives. He's the helper. But now we say, okay, well, the helper left. He went back up to heaven, right? Before Yeshua ascended to heaven, He told us there would be somebody to come, a helper to come, to get us through this. Okay? He's not walking along with us right now, although he's, you know, walking along with us spiritually, but he's not physically in front of us. But he has sent a spiritual helper to help us as he was leaving. And who is that spiritual helper? Is, of course, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Messiah does not belong to him. That Spirit dwelling in you and I, that Yeshua has, you know, come down, he said, come down and help them, right? This is part of all the facets of God here. We have Father, Son, and Spirit. This Spirit helps us direct which way to go, helps us not misapply Scripture, points our minds and our hearts towards the right things at the right time, how to handle situations, gives us wisdom, gives us discernment. That, coupled with studying the Word, is going to allow us to keep on that narrow path, is going to allow us to be true sheep, is going to allow us to go into the kingdom of God in heaven. But it all has, all around us, is pitfalls, dangers, things we have to be aware of, okay? It would be great if we could just walk through as sheep and everything was great and everybody was on the side of God helping us out. But you know, I know, that's not going to be. And that's heartbreaking. But the good news is, Yeshua is there, the Spirit of God is there, the Bible is there to walk us through and to keep us on the narrow path. Amen to that, right? Let's pray. Lord, it is difficult. There's pitfalls, there's dangers, there's lion's dens, fiery furnaces, there's wolves that come. And boy, it's deceptive. Boy, it just sounds so good. It just looks so good, but it's not good. So Lord, help us to be able to distinguish that. Show us how to have the right heart attitude. Show us how to bear good fruit. Show us how to get in line and in step with the Ruach, your Spirit, Lord, so that we can properly navigate through the pitfalls, the dangers, and stay on that narrow path. We thank you for your words. We thank you for the opportunity to follow after you as our shepherd. You lead us, God. You direct us through life, and we're thankful to have you as the good shepherd. We thank you and praise you in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's stand together. We're going to close our service today, and may you be led by the good shepherd and the Ruach.